RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. Running a successful surgical practice is but part of the busy professional life of Canberra-based vascular surgeon, Associate Professor Stephen Bradshaw. In addition to his important surgical work, Professor Bradshaw has shown a decades-long commitment to medical community services, lending his skills, experience and wise counsel to such areas as medical regulation, hospital boards and education, while at the same time advancing innovation in his own field of vascular surgery. Now, his dedication to the medical community cause has been recognised. Dr. Bradshaw is proud recipient of RAXA's 2017 Outstanding Service to the Community Award, a major achievement which already comes on the back of his Order of Australia Award earlier this year for significant services to medicine. It's been quite a year for Stephen Bradshaw. Chris Ashmore asks him first about this latest award, what it means to him and how important it's been to be so actively involved in medical community services.
It is a great honour to receive this award and at the same time quite humbling. I have been involved in lots of things, and I like to think of them as things outside the operating theatre. And I do always believe that the experience gained away from direct patient care, be it in various boards or teaching or in medical regulation, has given me probably a greater insight into what is quality medical practice. And those insights I can then bring back and use in my everyday job as a vascular surgeon. So it's been a great benefit being involved in what some people would think is away from your normal day job.
Well, your commitments stretch back over many years, if I can say that, and they are quite substantial. How have you found time for so much important committee and board work, as well as continuing your busy vascular surgery practice?
Yes, well, it certainly does take some time, but I come back to a lot of cliches that if you want something done, you ask a busy person. And I have an unfortunate trait that I have trouble saying no to people if they offer me something that is certainly stimulating and worthwhile and that I think I can value add to it. I think the other is also true, the reverse of that, and there's Parkinson's law that I quote to my registrars all the time at the hospital, that work expands to fill the time available, and if you don't have much to do, you'll still fill up all your time. So I find that I've been able to sort of balance work and these other activities. It comes down, I think, to a lot of time management skills and also having colleagues and family that I've been very grateful to have been supported and encouraged my involvement over the years.
Well, are there areas of community service that have given you particular enjoyment over the years?
Certainly my work in medical regulation through the various medical boards has been particularly satisfying to me. Not that many surgeons are involved in medical regulation and medical boards through their state and territory boards or the National Medical Board. And I think that's a pity in that surgeons do have a lot to offer in regulation. And hopefully I've been able to contribute in that way over the years. And hopefully that contribution has led to greater patient safety and public safety. The reverse is equally true, though, of what I said earlier, is that the lessons that I've learnt in medical regulation, by observing others' practices, seeing what is good and what's a bad medical practice, I've been able to take back to my own clinical practice, put them into place in my practice, and I hope it's made me a better surgeon and a better doctor over the years. So it's been a win-win situation.
Well, for some years, you chaired boards at hospitals. What have been the hardest issues in this environment?
Well, I think that running a hospital is very difficult, and that's firstly my first statement on that line. And being involved in departments of surgery and also being partially involved with running a hospital for a period of time has given great insights in the nuances and the difficulties that they face every day. And certainly it's a great balancing act that hospitals and departments have to do, and it's quite easy to be in your own little sphere of influence and your own little area and your own small world and not appreciate the difficulties that they go to. You know, people can want a new chair, for instance, to assist with their surgery. But at the same time, the hospitals have to balance up whether some other million-dollar piece of equipment is necessary. People have to balance up operating time and so on and so forth. I think it's a very difficult job being a chief executive of a major organisation, and especially a hospital, with all the personalities involved.
Indeed. Well, you've contributed in areas that have allowed innovation and change within vascular surgical services. What sorts of improvements are we now seeing in this field?
Well, certainly I have been around for a few years, and vascular surgery has evolved significantly over the last 20 years. And it's being done more and more by a minimally invasive endovascular approach. When I started in practice, for instance, all aortic aneurysms were repaired by an open technique, a big operation, major procedure, with good results, but it was a major insult to the patients, and the patients took quite a long time to get over it. I was instrumental in introducing endovascular repair of aortic aneurysms to Canberra in 1999, and since that time, the number of aneurysms that we repaired by that technique has grown every year, and so that the vast majority are now repaired that way. That's not to say that it's a lot safer, but the patients do recover quicker and get back to their normal activities faster, and they're out of hospital quicker, which I'm sure the hospitals like. Open operation now is a rarity, although we still do it when it's appropriate. And other areas of vascular surgery, it's evolved as well, with endovascular treatment of occlusive disease in the lower arteries of the lower leg, and also now with venous disease as well. So it's an evolving area, like most areas of surgery, and one needs to keep abreast of those evolving changes.
Well, you were an inaugural member of the Medical Board of Australia, and you've been involved in medical regulations for many years. Is this a changing and increasingly complex area of medicine?
Well, that's another area that's evolved a lot. I first got onto the ACT Medical Board in 1999, and at that stage there were 8 state and territory boards, all carrying on in their own competent way, but without an enormous amount of interaction between them. And we actually then rewrote the Act in the ACT, not knowing that we were going to move to a national registration, and then some years later went to a national registration. So I've had the pleasure of working under 3 completely different acts in my time in medical regulation, which has been interesting. We certainly now have a better scheme with a national registration scheme that we all work under. It's better for patients. It's a better consistency of how we handle registration, how we handle notifications, how we handle international medical graduates. There's a lot more consistency and a lot more transparency. And certainly I think it's been a lot better for patients now, and it's better for doctors too. Doctors are able to move around the country with only being registered once, as opposed to in 8 different jurisdictions if they wanted to move. It's been a complex process, but it's complex, but by breaking it down into small pieces, like surgeons do all the time, it's a manageable job.
Mm-hmm. Now, the award also recognises your commitment and skills as a teacher. How important is it to you to be involved in medical education, and what do you think it takes to be an effective educator in the surgical world?
Well, like regulation, I think that teaching, being involved with teaching, again, the lessons I learn from that, because I learn a lot from teaching, makes me a better doctor. Whilst at the same time we're training the next generation of surgeons, we are unique in that we train our juniors to be better than us, to get a registration, to get a fellowship, only to come back and to be competitors and take our jobs away from us. It's an unusual situation from time to time. But it's so important that we teach students, that we teach medical students and junior doctors and registrars, because only by teaching them are we forced to reconsider our practices, find out what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. It's so often that a student will ask me what seems to be a quite trivial question. I'll go, I have to think about that for a while. Or a registrar will say, well, why are you doing it that way? And you have to think, well, I've always done it that way, but what is the reason for that? So we're forever learning from our, what one would consider our juniors, our students and registrars. So it's a great powerful tool to be involved with teaching.
Well, this year you've also been named as Member of the Order of Australia for your significant service to medicine. So it's been quite a year for you, Dr. Bradshaw. What would you say to others in your profession about getting involved to make a difference?
Well, yes, you're right. It's been a big year and very humbling year. Being a member of the Order of Australia, like this Community Service Award, is made all the better by being nominated and recognised by my peers, and that is quite a humbling experience. I would encourage other surgeons to be involved, again, outside the operating theatre, because you can make a great difference. In the operating theatre, you really can only make a difference to one patient at a time. But outside the operating theatre, being involved in teaching, being involved in medical regulation, being involved with hospitals, you can actually have a hand in making a change to a lot of patients at the same time. So certainly there's a lot of benefits for patients, there's a lot of benefits for the individual to be involved with these activities outside our sphere of just our surgical practice. And I certainly encourage all to consider their place in what else they can do.
Well, what are some of the biggest challenges facing the surgical community right now, do you think? And will you continue to be involved in finding solutions?
Well, certainly I've still got so many years to go in my practice and I certainly will be involved. People are always looking for new places to get me to do things. I think the big things are balancing acts. Patient care is complex, balancing up the expectations of the patients and what is reality. That's a risk equation. And we all deal with risk equations every day, hundreds of times a day. You know, when we cross the road, do we cross now or do we wait another minute? It's a risk equation. Do we do this operation or do we do that operation or do we do no operation? And balancing up patients' expectations, what the reality of the different types of treatment are always an interesting conversation. And the fact that we now involve patients more and more in that decision-making every day is only to be encouraged. And only by doing that do we get better patient outcomes and healthier and happier patients. I think the other area of is that cost, balancing cost. It's always been an issue around, but every year medicine is getting more expensive. Balancing the cost of care, of the different types of care, is going to forever be a major problem.
Well, finally, on a personal note, what do you do to relax on the rare occasions when you're not involved in your professional service and surgery work?
Well, that's a good question. Family is important to me, and I just love spending time with them, with my wife and children, and planning holidays. I think holidays are so valuable. A lot of surgeons, unfortunately, tie in holidays with conferences. I think that's not a holiday. I think you need to have a holiday on a regular basis. And holidays are used as that necessary break from patient care when you can sit back and reflect on what you've done. You can have an enjoyable and relaxing time, but at the same time, recharging your batteries so that when you come back, you're refreshed and ready to go again. It's probably a good time to catch up on all that sleep that one's missed out on along the way. And my final parting gesture on that is that it's no good coming back from a holiday unless you've got your next holiday planned and something to look forward to through all those long committees, long hours working at the operating theatre.
Associate Professor Stephen Bradshaw, recipient of this year's Outstanding Service to the Community Award. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Buongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Buongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.